Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh, boy, wow-wee.
He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Super Footy Herald Sun podcast. My name's Mark Robinson. With me is Mickey Warner. How was your weekend, Chief?
It was pretty good. Yeah, of course, saw a couple of games. Watched the Richmond game on my couch, and my wife Lucy said it wasn't a pleasant experience.
It was a pretty tense game, that one.
But it
was an intense game, one of the games of the year. Anyway, we'll get on to Richmond in a short time.
Hate Marvel Stadium.
All you Richmond people do, don't you? Do you ever go there?
I go there a lot, but if you're not working. I thought Richmond were entitled to raise the issue of these grandfather contracts that, for some unbeknownst reason, mean that MCG tenant clubs have to go to Marvel Stadium. I remember Eddie Maguire said famously when they were going to spend $255 million of taxpayer funds renovating Marvel Stadium that it's like putting lipstick on a pig. I liked his idea, as you remember.
But he
bulldozing it.
You were running his PR campaign for the new stadium down at
MCG precinct. It did feel a bit like that at the time. But
Well, everyone I spoke to said he's Mick working for Eddie now. I said, no, he's still working for us.
You know, I actually reckon I got played a bit there. I feel like the plan was always to get government funding for Marvel Stadium, but you sort of put something over here to look over here. And anyway, they're going to spend.
Eddie played.
I'm not.
It's interesting.
No, I just think that the whole thing was a strategy by the AFL to get. I mean, if you think about it, no one is better at spending other people's money than the Australian Football League. The amount of money they have been able to get out of for infrastructure is astonishing, and that's another example. The Liberal Party, the state Liberal Party, said that taxpayer funds shouldn't be going to a private sporting competition.
Do you think, mate, because we have these discussions with the AFL sometimes, because people in working positions in the media are there to question the authorities, and when we take conspiracy theories, what we think are really solid theories, to the AFL, they just back and forth. So do you really think we work like that? So do you really think that powers that be, with Eddie Maguire, sat around a round table at the MC at AFL headquarters and said, right, this is our strategy. What we're going to do is we're going to ask for $250 million to upgrade this, but we need them to think that we're going to build another stadium at the MCG, near the MCG. And they say, right, Eddie, you're tasked for that.
No.
And they go, which journalist can I ring? Let's ring Warner.
It didn't quite work that way, though, you see. I heard it from someone else and rang him, but maybe that was part of the whole thing, you know?
You never know in this world.
You never know. But I'll tell you what you do know.
What's that?
Marvel Stadium is a pretty ordinary place.
I disagree. Absolutely disagree.
Compared to the MCG, where Richmond and Collingwood play their home games.
But are you saying this because you're a Richmond supporter, or are you saying it as
I've never really liked the venue.
Don't you like?
It just feels a bit. There's two aspects. Yep. I find football there very weird. That's a bounce of the ball. It's a fast sort of ice skating rink type game.
Well, on the weekend we had the ice skating rink and the ball bouncing back over people's heads. It was a double dose of...
See, that bounce that Rioli got
mystique,
would not happen...
Mystique at Marvel.
Anyway, I digress, but it's a good
talking
point.
I've been to Marvel Stadium. I went to the first game there. I think it was Essendon Port Adelaide.
I went to that game. Who kicked the very first goal?
Would not have a clue.
Michael Long. What were you going to say? Yeah, no, look, it's look,
I have been at some unbelievable games there. The atmosphere's been electric.
Yes.
I mean, I think I saw St Kilda. One of the best games was St Kilda.
Geelong?
No, St Kilda, Brisbane. Troy Schwartz.
Oh, yes.
Kicked the goal from
that. Was that a Saturday night?
Yeah, might have been. Troy Schwartz kicked the goal from about 55 on the run.
Ended up coaching Sorrento, I think.
The noise was just
It's good for noise.
Amazing.
If Brendan Gale became AFL CEO, I would assume the first thing he'll do is tear up those grandfather contracts. Sorry, not if. When Brendan Gale becomes the next CEO, you'd think he's now sort of declared his hand there.
Yeah, maybe, anyway. But he's got his Richmond hat on. If he goes to the AFL...
No, you've got to be consistent.
No, yeah, but he's got... No, well, you can't be. You can't be.
He can't be consistent.
No, you can't be, because he's wearing his Richmond club hat, and if he goes to a new job, he is now going to be wearing the AFL hat. And if they need to generate money, he'll say, well, I'm seeing a different perspective. We've got to generate money through this stadium that we purchased. All clubs are going to play a home game here. But if Richmond want to play all their home games at the MCG, that's fine. I've got no problem with that.
Well, all clubs should play all their games at their home.
So should Geelong.
Well, that's a more vexed... Does Geelong want to play games at the MCG?
I tell you what, if Geelong were playing Richmond and they said to Geelong, it's your home game, where would you want to play? What do you think Geelong would answer?
Probably at home, but
no doubt.
Would that be for the best for them in the long run when they have to play them there and say the grand final?
Anyway. Yeah, but there's always caveats.
Yes.
Always caveats. Take away the caveats. Play your home games. The problem in Melbourne is we've got two stadiums, right, for nine clubs. When the AFL come in and ground rationalised, we're getting rid of all these stadia and we're going to have two. They took control of the draw, mate. Home ground, it's a weird thing. I think Richmond, I haven't really given it a lot of thought, but Richmond should, play your home game there. Play one home game there. It's not the end of the world, it's not the end of the world.
How would you feel if you were David Teague to read that Justin Lepich is being approached?
You've got the question. Why don't you ask the question and answer the question?
Well, I would...
How do you think Dave? I'll ask you. How do you think David Teague would feel that they've brought in John Worsfold?
Well, he asked for as Worsfold. A mentor. I think he asked for Worsfold,
yeah,
didn't he?
And
I don't know if
it was reported yesterday that Brad Lloyd at Carlton has spoken to Justin Lepich about joining the club.
The first thing I'd be disappointed for is Peninsula School, where Lepper has signed up as the coach, because I think we need Lepper to stay there for 10 years. But if he was to be tempted to come back. And it sounds like he's got offers from Collingwood as well, because I saw he was linked there. And again, how would you feel if you were Nathan Buckley? I would feel a little threatened by that.
I wouldn't feel threatened at all. Well, hang on. Why threatened?
Well, definitely if I was Teague, because he's the senior coach. And whereas Bucks, I think it's pretty much well... considered, is that the right word, that he'll have a revamped, if he survives, have a revamped coaching team around him, and that Richmond intelligence would be handy. But I don't know, I just think it's a bit early, isn't it, round nine, to be talking about your coaching. What it basically says is that your current team has failed.
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, at round nine.
That's okay.
So Carlton failed?
What did Melbourne do in the last 2 years? They brought in Adam Uze.
They did it at the end of the year.
Alan Richardson, Mark Williams.
At the end of the year.
Oh, well, when you need help, you need help. Right? So, I've got no issue with what Carlton are doing. My gut feel when I first heard was, geez, Juddy, training wheels. Is Teague still on training wheels? Only coached 38 games. Yeah, probably is. Does Carlton recognise he needs help? Yep. Okay. Worsfold was already mentoring. Okay, well, let's make that official. Come on board, have a look, come over and help him. If we're going to mentor him, come and be hands-on, see what he's doing. Second thing, Carlton are probably looking at revamping their assistant coaching stocks, and Leper's out there. Can you be threatened from Leper from a point of view of him taking over? Leper has had the one job as a senior coach, and it wasn't fantastic. He went in too young. he would be better a second time.
I think as long as you read it, now, and you already knew it, the club had said, hey, we've spoken to Leper. If you pick up a paper and you read something like that, I reckon you'd be threatened. But I don't know.
If they've done that without telling Leper, without telling David Teague, that club's just about to implode.
Yeah. You do. I don't know.
You do not do that, do
no,
you?
No.
So where does it leave Teague? Tell me.
Well, I'm just intrigued by the Alistair Clarkson sort of thing. Like, is he? That was a shocking loss to North.
So we all know. So we're just going from one club to
no, because if I'm Carlton, I'm thinking, well, is Clarkson gettable? Well, you're saying that you're always thinking about these things on the run at round nine. So I'm just using your theories. If I'm Carlton, then am I wondering whether Clarkson's available? And, am I looking at Collingwood if I'm Carlton, saying, well, I wonder if they think Clarkson's available? So,
oh, there's no doubt.
Because there's that pressure, or there's that competitive market with two clubs.
Oh, if Clarkson's available and both clubs are looking for new coaches, of course they're going to inquire about Clarkson. This is where it gets really tricky. Carlton have given no indication yet that Martin Goodishay's been absolutely fierce in his support of David Teague. We don't know what Luke Sayers is thinking about that. Luke Sayers has come in. I don't know much about Luke Sayers. Does he just come in and go, don't like him, see you later, I'm getting a new coach? Actually, by the way, everyone, I'm bringing in Alistair Clarkson. I've spoken to him. Actually, I've spoken to Ross Lyon. We're going to bring in Rossi. Thanks, Dave. Yeah, clean slate. Has the president got the power to do that? No, he hasn't, mate. That's a dictatorship, right? You put people in positions to make these decisions, okay? So I don't think that's happening. That said, Carlton are what, 3-6? 3-6. You know, they're lucky to be, not lucky, they could have lost the Essendon game. They could have been 2-7 sitting with Collingwood. So there's a lot of pressure at Carlton. That's why they're making these decisions trying to get Justin Leppich, getting help.
So you wrote about Mark Corder today, which is Tuesday, about, you know, present yourself, Mark. What was your...
My reasoning there, he's getting slaughtered in the PR stakes. There's not a single person...
But he doesn't say anything.
Well, that's why I use the word slaughtered. the media machinations, it's Jeff Brown, Jeff Brown, Jeff Brown, Jeff Brown. You know that. You've been writing a lot of copy about...
Well, he is coming. I do agree with Tony Shaw, though. He needs to put up or shut up in the next week, at least, if not this
Sarah,
week.
This is a mess, mate. This is a mess, and you know it.
Collingwood's
I know
mess.
It, and every Carlton...
Although Bucks post-game didn't seem to think that they were in a mess, even
he
though they
said he didn't
one
think
goal.
It was a distraction.
No, just the club. I thought he thought they played all right, didn't he?
They kicked one goal in three quarters. Mm. Collingwood fans are just... They're just... I don't know. Radio Talkback, a few fan forums, they're just going berserk.
Well, what's interesting on Radio Talkback that I did on you were on Sunday as well is I don't know whether they're that keen on either group, because I think that some callers were saying they saw Jeff Brown as a Maguire-aligned person.
Oh, no doubt.
And people think that Corder is a Maguire-aligned person who was part of a board that by the end had lost its way completely in terms of governance. So
Mark Corder is seen by a lot of people in football, Mick, as, and I use the word lackey today, they see him as just part of the Maguire era. So Mark Corder took over, did a couple of interviews and has disappeared. Meanwhile, every third person in the media is talking about Jeff Brown. So if you're a Collingwood person following this club, you're watching your club fall apart on the field. You've got a coach who's out of contract. You've got a president who doesn't speak. And all the while, Jeff Brown's just come soon to be riding over the hill with his people.
With his ticket. And an ex-president who does speak.
And an ex-president does speak who was MC at Jeff Brown's wedding.
Oh, was he?
I think so. I might have got that wrong, but it was certainly at the wedding. They're great mates. Actually, I didn't bring my phone in. Do you know who's on the Jeff Brown ticket? I've heard a couple of names. I'll run them past you.
All right.
Paul Tudenham?
He'd been mentioned before, but I don't know whether he'd be on it.
Wouldn't he?
Who else you got?
Yeah, I've got another name. You might have heard of him. Got this from a mate of mine in the racing game. Strong Rupert, Rupert Lee, a racehorse owner, used to run with Jeff Brown. Have you heard that name?
I haven't heard that, but I'd be surprised if Rupert would get involved.
Why would you be surprised?
He's got about 250 horses, got a big business.
He's not riding them.
I reckon you got bad mail there. But that's good insight because we get bad mail tips, don't you, every now and then. You got to check them out.
Yeah.
But I'll have a chamomile on you for that one, if he turns up on the ticket.
Eat responsibly.
I think it'll get...
And just remember, eat responsibly.
Anyway, that'll get
resolved. So what's going on?
But Tony Shaw's right, isn't he? You can't make any decision on Buckley until you fix the board dispute.
But what happens if Mark Corder decide, actually, in fact, we want Nathan Buckley? They're in charge.
Yes, but I think Francis Galbally makes a good point. They're in caretaker mode too if there is going to be a challenge.
Well, where is it?
They know that it's coming, Collingwood. They've had enough, I would imagine, discussions in the back rooms to know that there is a challenge coming, and therefore their responsibility would not be to anoint Buckley.
Their responsibility is to run the club as they are the club board.
Yes, but if you are aware,
as they see fit.
Yes, but in terms of governance and fiscal responsibilities. If they know that there is a potential board challenge coming, then they shouldn't make any major decisions.
Why not?
Because that's not the way you should conduct business.
Oh, because a group of people
get it resolved.
are thinking about it.
As I said, I think they know more about the likelihood.
So they're on hold.
Caretaker mode.
So the Collingwood board is on hold because Jeff Brown,
yes,
right, who's a very, very, very respected businessman, right, and he could be fantastic for Collingwood. Collingwood can't make any major decisions.
They shouldn't.
Because Jeff Brown's going to ride in on his horses over there.
That would be my opinion. But they may well turn around and get ahead of the play and say, Buck's 2-year deal and that's it. They could, but...
No, absolutely. That wouldn't be
the responsible thing to do.
I think it is their responsibility. If they think that is the right decision for the club, they can do that. They are in charge, Mick.
Yes, but there's... There is a challenge coming.
Well, let it come.
Well, I think, again, Shaw's
when do you
right.
think? When
should
do you
be,
think?
It should be today.
Oh, I agree with you. I think there's enough noise around. I mean, it
should have been a week ago.
Yeah, Tony Shaw was spot on. Absolutely spot on. He said it a couple of weeks ago. I think he did the story. Yep. Put up or shut up. Okay? Now, the problem with that story is you can put up, and you can't tell them to shut up because they haven't spoken.
Yeah, but what you have to do also is line your ducks up so you're not that complete chamozzle focus on footy where you're not all organised. So I actually am understanding that it's a lot more complicated, and I think Collingwood's current border of this view, it's not going to be easy for this mob. There's a lot of hoops that you've got to jump through. Yeah. I would imagine that they would have engaged a law firm to try and work out how to actually go about it. Have you read the Constitution, for example? Anyway, I'll move on.
No, before you move on. There's a suggestion that, if they can do it peacefully, right? How does say, for example, Brown likes the two female...
Christine Holgate, Jodie Sizer.
Jodie Sizer. What if...
Yeah.
Brown says they're fantastic people.
I would think that's what he will say.
So how does he approach them now?
He would have already.
They'd say, right, so this is the mess that we're in. So we've got a Collingwood board in place led by a guy called Mark Corder who is not speaking to his electorate, right, which is the Collingwood fans. Meanwhile, Jeff Brown, you're suggesting, is talking to Collingwood board.
I just would assume.
All right, you're assuming... You're assuming.
I would assume that Jeff Brown and Porter would have spoken.
Yeah.
Or have attempted to speak to each other. But again, they've got to fix it now. I agree.
It's convoluted.
But speaking of fixing things, I was intrigued to see that you were a selector of the Gold Coast Suns team of the century that came out on Saturday.
Were you intrigued by me being a selector or intrigued by a team being selected?
Both, actually.
Why were you intrigued by me being a selector?
Well, it's not often that footy clubs sort of reach out for such a significant thing to a journalist for a start. Is that the first time you would have been a selector in a club's team of the century or decade?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was interesting in itself. But what I was more interested in...
Do you think they played me off like Maguire played you off?
No, I don't actually. But
Mark Evans rang me.
Yep.
And said, we're going to put a team of the decade. You've watched a lot of games, which I have. Follow footy pretty closely.
You don't have to justify you. I think it's fine. But
I thought you were having a crack.
No, I'm just more interested.
I said, okay, I'll do it. I'm happy to help.
In when I looked at the team.
So you're more intrigued by the team rather than me being a selector.
Yeah. I thought you've got the team right, by the way. It's a pretty good team. But that's the sad thing about it. If that team was still playing, they'd probably be in second on the ladder right now.
It is a strong team.
It's a fantastic team. So the problem is 12 of them are all playing for other clubs. And you know, we read that Ben King, who wasn't in the team, is headed to St Kilda. And they were pathetic against Brisbane. And Mark Evans, when he went there, sort of said this is the line in the sand moment, but it's the same old Gold Coast. So good on them for putting out the team. But I just thought it was interesting to look at and
It wasn't. Do you think the public thought, oh, this is interesting, like this is intriguing, like you suggested, or the public thought, what a joke, what are they doing?
No, I think it was more have a look at the players they haven't been able to retain and how this $250 to $300 million club. I thought that this was the year where Suns would go past Giants. And look at the character of the Giants against Richmond.
Oh, they've shown a lot of character all throughout their career.
Since they were written off 6 weeks ago. And I said this to you, and I'll keep saying it, the way that the foundations of the Giants were laid by Sheedy and Lambert and Gubby and Choco and the senior players they recruited and the Dave Breakfast Matthews. Point, Dave Matthews.
They have got it right. And they've got a really strong football culture. Right now, if you're at the AFL, and they'll never admit this, but right now, you'd be extremely worried after a decade where the Suns are.
Mm.
Extremely worried. So much so that Peter Volandis, the head of the rugby league, is using the Suns as an example of
what not to do.
The code failing. In Queensland. Now the numbers are
Where did he do that?
He did it. I think on the weekend there was the Magic Round in rugby league where all the teams play at the same ground. Yeah, the same ground, which is at the Broncos. And he was saying, look, the AFL is piling $300 million into this circus down the road. Look at them, they're just stuffed. Now look at the Suns though for a second. And I'm supportive of expansion.
So am I. I'm supportive of the Gold Coast
Suns.
They
need to compete. They need to compete better. You know, Bluey McKenna's still the most successful coach at the club. You know, Stuart Dew.
Did you ask Bluey about the goal, how they're going, by the way, in your interview?
When I spoke to him?
Yeah.
Like,
can it work?
No. It was more about him going back to the club for the first time.
Did you talk to Rocket?
No, I think Rocket chose not to be involved.
Did he?
I think. I didn't speak to Rocket.
No, you never think. So he didn't want to be involved, Rocket. That's interesting.
I think the club contacted him to be a selector, but I don't know.
Was he treated badly on the way out?
I don't know where it ended up.
Hmm.
What does that tell you? Yeah, so the Suns are they're in a massive mess. They're in a mess, and everyone supports them with their draft picks and all that sort of stuff, but they haven't got the character. It's like, again, have they gone after the wrong players? You know, the Brisbane Lions...
Chris Rowell is obviously...
Yeah, they're missing Chris Rowell, but...
And Witts and Day, that's it, really. And Miller, Tuke Miller was...
When Chris Fagan arrived at Brisbane, and I talk about Fagan a lot because I like him, when he arrived at Brisbane, he had one philosophy. When they were having their list management meetings and draft meetings and all that sort of stuff, they'd put up all these kids, and Fakes would ask one question: are they tough? Are they tough? Now he'd just come from the Hawks, right? The unsociable Hawks. He knows what's required to win premierships. And he kept on asking the question: are they tough? You know, so if it's a line ball, do you want a skilled player on the outside or you want a hard nut? So, Yeah, real concerns. If it gets, if they continue to lose again, I think there's going to be a lot more noise on the Suns, mate.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got a new segment today.
What is it?
Wreck-It Ralph. Johnny Ralph.
Oh, boy.
I didn't talk to you about it. I thought I'd talk to go over your head.
The medical sub.
So we're going to call him the medical sub. We're going to bring Wreck-It in every Tuesday.
All right.
For 5 minutes. Stay
there.
What are
you going to talk to him about?
We're at the Herald Sun offices, so we don't have to look too far. Listen to this. I'll open the door and yell out. Ralphie?
Oh. He's not on the
phone doing an interview.
Well, why don't we take a break, and when we come back, we'll have
Wreck-It Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Just found him, Wreck-It Ralph. You're just on the telephone. Who are you talking to?
I was talking to someone about the Pies. Ooh, I almost think the Pies. You know, remember when Mick Mulder
asked someone about their assistant coaches?
Yes, there's a discussion about, you know, whether they'll be moved on. What an extraordinary situation.
You got the same email as I did last night.
9 weeks in. Well, no, I'm still receiving source. Calls back about the, all those kind of things. You know,
we can discuss the email that we had last night. We both got.
Yeah, well, I mean, the talk is around about the Pies assistant coaches potentially might be moved on, but I'm not sure whether that's confirmed or not. What a horrible situation that they're in. I just still can't. What are they actually good at, and what is Nathan Buckley good at that he's shown in the last 10 weeks that would show that they should extend him right now? I felt like in round one, you say, he's our man, we back this bloke in, but there's been so much turbulence in the last 9 weeks. I think the fans are off him. I think there are some levels of the players who are thinking, look, enough's enough.
Protesting.
So in 2000,
they're playing. Did you watch them?
Yeah,
you've been
I tried to watch. It was pretty.
They're playing without spark.
Started well.
They're playing without spark, and they've got kids. We know that, but some of their mid-age and senior players. It's going to be a big accusation, but they're lacking the verve in their output.
Yeah, I think you can. You can forgive your coach once, or you can say, okay, he survived once, and we back him in. That happened in 2016. Now, 5 years on...
You can't do that twice.
You can't do it twice. You can't go back to the world twice.
I agree.
And so I think if they are to replace everything around him, in list management, in the board, in the football boss, in their assistant coaches...
How would you feel
and
as
rejuvenate
the coach,
it. If that... You've done all that once.
Yeah.
The second time, you say, it's just time for a fresh start. You can't do it a second time, can
it's
you?
It's so obviously time for a fresh start.
Yeah.
But before you came on, we were saying they can't do anything until Jeff Brown and Gordon sold out their problem.
What's would Eddie? You trade? Would you trade out Steele Sidebottom?
I would trade out Steele Sidebottom.
I would put him up and say, "What can you get for
yeah.
him?"
Yeah, and no I would. And I would ask the question:
How did supporters feel about that?
Well, how did Hawthorn supporters feel when they put up
shocking,
Luke Hodge?
And it didn't work, and they ripped the soul out of Hawthorn.
Steve Johnson. John did it with Steve Johnson.
Bad
Paul Chapman.
Call. Bad call.
They've been contending for a decade.
I would do it with
and
Jordan
Brisbane.
McGowan, if only just to put the shot across the bows. But he's the one.
No shot across the bows. I'd put him up.
Well, you see what he's worth. He kicks 6 goals on, you know, a football peninsula, and that's not
Aiden Bonner, North Melbourne.
Yeah, Aiden Bonner, and also their captain as well. And then when he gets a good opponent, he kicks a couple of early goals, and he gets put to sleep by Dane Rampey. So,
yeah, but he's in the same verve thing that Robbo's saying. You can't really judge him. He's a gun to go.
I don't
if
think
he goes
I don't
to another club, he will embarrass Collingwood.
Maybe. I don't.
What do you
I
think?
Don't think of, I don't. If Bucks is coaching next year,
yep.
I don't think De Goey will be there.
What would you? And again, we're talking about trading players out, not because it's fun, not because it's clickbait, but because you need some draft collateral. They need actually some players if they are to secure the likes of a key forward. Who's the key forward around that you would chase? Right
well,
now?
I was talking to another club this week, Ralphie.
Yep.
And I read your piece yesterday about the big gaping hole since Travis Clark, and it was a really good piece. They haven't had anyone. And they invested 8 years in Mason Cox.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
Yeah.
That's a long, long, long investment.
Almost worked.
So for me, Sam Wiedemann
grand
is...
final day. Yeah.
People are now saying, well, Sam Wiedemann is just a good VFL
but he can't
player.
Get into the team. I mean, how can Wiedemann be the answer?
Yeah. I saw in 2018 in that final series, Robbo, and of course they got smashed in the prelim, but he looked like a player who was a star of the future. Now, yeah, there have been some pitfalls and he's been up and down. I still think... He's the kind of player where if you've got, say, pick 22, he's worth it. Because if not, they're playing Howe as a defender. They're playing Will Kelly, who everyone thought 5 weeks ago might be a key forward. Now they're playing him back. They're playing, I think Mason Cox moves on.
Is there a club they've got to move on.
Is there a club out there that would be interested in
Mason
Cox? No,
I don't think so.
Ben King? Will they go after Ben King, Ralphie?
Potentially they could.
Potentially. With Wiedemann, Goodwin was on 360 last night, and he said, quote unquote, "I'm incredibly confident."
So
that Wiedemann is staying.
So my only thought about that, and I did see it, is that what else would he say about that?
Oh, sometimes coaches say,
"Yeah,
you know, we're confident. Yeah, we're the discussions are going along pretty well." I thought he was emphatic. Very rarely do you hear emphatic. Well, compare him to Leon Cameron talking about Josh Cowley and everyone. He says, "You know, our discussions are, you know, they're really good. I don't think." They're not leaving, but Jezza, Jeremy Cameron, you know, he's been a fantastic player, et cetera, et cetera, and he's out the door.
There's very confident, and there's very confident.
Yeah, there's thin pickings on key forwards. And that's why Ralphie's article was really good. Collingwood aren't the only team looking for key forwards, Mick.
Well, everyone is. But if
some don't need them. Like, Geelong doesn't need. No, but Richmond doesn't
Geelong
need.
If Collingwood had Aaron Norton at full forward, they'd still be 2-7. That's the least of their problems, Ralphie.
It'd be nice for them to try and build for a premiership with a key position forward.
I don't know if they would be. They might have won a couple of games. He's a pretty good player, Aaron Norton. But anyway, they're thin pickings, mate. Because another club said to me in the last 36 hours, who do you know of any key forwards are available? Because they're scanning. Yeah. Clubs are scanning the whole country.
So Max Draft King's just signed a 2-year extension for 4 years in total, which is great.
Has that been released today?
Yep. If he's worth, it's been widely reported, if he's worth $700 a year,
what he'd be getting?
Well, something like that.
Max King's getting $700.
He's got a kick straight.
Well, what would Ben King be worth? Who's as good as him, and he's kicked 23-8 for the year, and he's potentially on the open market at the end of the
year. He's only a second-year player. If he's on $700 already, that can't be right.
Yeah, and so that's the issue for me about Gold Coast issues. That's about their issues.
Imagine if Ben says he wants out. Say he does.
Well, my issues for them,
it's $1.01 that he will.
They've got Jack Lukosius and they've got Isaac Rankin, all three of them out next year. Now, again, you know, they've won a couple of games early. It was just, let's hope it was an aberration. But imagine if a couple of those blokes walk out. Gold Coast can't afford to start again. Yeah, they've got Matt Rowell and Anderson and a few of the, you know, quality VFL players.
They can start again in Tasmania.
Well, that's the real issue for Gold Coast. That's why they need to turn it around, because you know those guys are all seen to have been happy there. But if one of them leaves, then it potentially becomes a domino effect.
Soul destroying. Could you imagine the AFL, Mick, putting their hand up saying, "Yeah, we got that one wrong.
No,
we're going to send the license to Tasmania."
The new administration could, not the current one,
because they'll say it was the previous administration's call.
Yeah.
My God.
I actually like
$300 million.
The Suns is a good idea on the Gold Coast. I like it. It's just the complete lack of built foundations that were provided.
Have you asked Chieftain about the Gold Coast 10-year team?
Yeah, we have spoken about that.
Yep. Didn't you hear Mick laughing from acid?
It was a good team. Bloody good
team. So what's the next major signing? How do you feel the mid-year draft's going to play out?
Nathan Freeman's getting 40 touches a game, but
how old's he?
They're not great. He's 25, but they're not great touches.
They're not great touches.
Well, one of the recruiters said to me, they're the kind of touches that don't help your team right now. And having spoken to his coach last,
selfish touches.
Well, yeah, sort of clapping the hands, 1-2 kind of stuff. You know, bulking up your possessions, not running defensively.
That's a bit harsh.
But no, well, that's his coach. You know, Danny Ryan spoke
get
to him.
Up.
He won't get
Hang
picked
on,
up.
He's not. Hasn't nominated, has he?
He hasn't. No, and I think if
what
a
about
club,
Craig Lambert's son, he's dominating
Bailey
down there.
Lambert. Yeah, so he's 182 centimetre mid forward. Played at Noble Park really well. Went to Richmond VFL side, couldn't get a look in. He's playing outstanding footy. And people would say, it's Frankston. They're 3-1 in the VFL. So they're playing some really good football. There are clearly suitors out there for him, which they haven't been yet for Nathan Freeman. The best thing for Nathan Freeman, he's got a job with Paul Connors. He's finally injury free. So what's to say by the end of the season he can't improve his quality of disposal, run two ways a bit more?
Maybe his quality of life is better.
All of that stuff. Come onto an AFL list, you've got a 10-week contract. You're probably not going to play anyway. You might have to give up your job.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, being out of the AFL system is better.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I've spoken to a couple. And quickly,
agree with that myself.
Will McCartan get picked up, you think?
I don't think so. No. I think Sydney's the only club out there that's vaguely interested in him. And they'd be thinking to themselves, well, do we desperately need him for this year? No. Are we a chance for him to be he's going to be an unrestricted free agent by the end of the season? If we still want to get him then, he nominates us. Happy days.
How many clubs have got a position on their list to take a mid-year draft?
No, player? I haven't looked at that, but probably 12 of the 18, and a lot of them have got multiple picks. So Richmond would have to make a decision on Ivan Soldo, who's had a couple of minor surgeries in the last 6 weeks. He's probably not going to play again. So if they wanted, imagine them re-recruiting Tyson Stengel. Collingwood's interested in him. Isn't that interesting? Like Tyson Stengel got dropped by Adelaide after drink driving and cocaine, and everyone said he was persona non grata. Everyone's desperate for talent. He kicks 3 goals in the state match. He plays great footy. They bring him back in.
A club would recruit Ned Kelly.
Yeah.
If they thought he could play as a high half forward.
Yeah. Willie Rioli's in the same boat in that it looks like West Coast will pick him up again, potentially in the next couple of weeks.
I'd be poor if West Coast dropped him off.
A drug suspension from the AFL, Willie Rioli.
Well, they're still working through that, but my information...
They're working through
it. My information is that I think if you didn't have a drug strike and you'd taken cocaine like Brad Crouch and a few of those blokes, you might accept the drug strike, okay, for the good of the et cetera, et cetera. I think if you... I have no idea if Willie Rioli has a drug strike. Well, the information that because
if he had drugs on him, he should get a drug strike, shouldn't he?
Well, that's something that you almost have to
Does
accept.
He get a strike for tampering rather than...
No, he doesn't. So,
he doesn't. So there was no drugs there.
No, the initial... The one, 2 years ago,
he didn't get it.
Yeah. So anyway, but I would hope that the AFL would have target tested him for his marijuana use after that. If he did have a single illicit drug strike, which we have no knowledge of, I'd imagine that his lawyers would be working very hard not to get a second one, given that that would be a four-week suspension and would push his return back. But all these things are, of course, confidential with the AFL.
Thanks, Ralphie. Thanks, we'll talk to you next Tuesday if you're around. If we come calling, get off the phone, can you? Thanks. We've got Ralphie every week from now on, mate, so that'll be really good.
It'll help the ratings.
Update. Hey, I brought up Peter Volandis earlier about his commentary about the Gold Coast Suns. He's also, I don't know if you're aware of this, last night on NRL 360, he a tirade against concussion in the game that the NRL is going to now. It was evidence on the weekend. They are not changing the rules, but they are now trying to punish players more to send the message to start cutting out head-high hits. And when I heard it, Mick, I thought, how's this? The NRL is absolutely confronting the issue. And I just thought it was the Bailey Fritch getting let off by the tribunal for an elbow fend into the face. I thought many people were surprised at that outcome.
Well, he's a formidable man, Peter Volandi. He's not that popular down here, but I like him a lot because he says what he thinks. The penny's dropped for the NRL on concussion. Do you think it's dropped fully for our game? Like with the Bailey Fritch getting off.
Well, you know my thoughts on the concussion sub.
Sub?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts
when on it that? First came up? I thought it was just a PR campaign by the AFL to say, look, we're doing something. And you've been writing a couple of stories about the fact that people are asking for 30-day.
Well, that's what the science says. I haven't seen the
Peter
science
just
around
tells
12
you,
days.
Peter just no. tells you what the science
no,
says.
No, no.
Or have you
medical experts, Dr. Alan Pearce, for example, from the Australian Sports Brain Bank, Latrobe University, he's the one who says 30 days, not Peter Jess, Peter's great work.
He does a great job,
Peter Jess does this because he managed, at the height of his career in the 80s, about half the players in the competition. A lot of those players are damaged. He doesn't just do this because he enjoys taking on the AFL.
Yeah, it's not mate, Peter Jess is fantastic.
No, but
absolutely
this
fantastic.
The point that I'm making. The 30 days is a real scientific
okay,
number.
Okay, do you think the foul swoop, Peter Volandis did more for dealing with concussion than what the AFL has intended?
I would suspect that he's acting on legal advice that his competition has received.
Yep.
The way that they have so swiftly moved into action on concussion.
In mid-season, between rounds,
they've
just said, right, sin bins, record sin bins, players sent off.
Right? It's massive, isn't it?
It's massive. And people say, we don't like to change the rules in the AFL, et cetera, et cetera. I find it hard to comprehend that an elbow to the face, protect yourself or offend, that's not part of the game. And let Fritch got off. So I think the AFL have got to come down heavier on the head highs.
Yeah. Do you like Volandis?
Yeah, I do. I've got no problem. He does I like his passion about his own sport. I don't like his argument. Don't like his style of argument of putting down the opposition in your debate.
Well, I think he's responding to being put down by the suits from Melbourne. But he's like
who
an
are
executive.
The suits? Are, hang on,
well, the boys' club.
Who's putting him down?
Well, Volandis, when he came out last year and set May 28 as a return date for the season, had his head kicked off by being irresponsible. I can't remember the names, but I like him being an executive.
You sure you can't remember
chairman.
The names?
I wonder whether we need a system where you have an executive chairman as well. That's something that they review that hopefully the clubs get up can look at. So he's sort of that.
So sit above Gil McLaughlin?
No, to be Gil McLaughlin and Richard Goyder all in one.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Yeah. To be like the NFL have, what's his name, the czar of the NFL. Anyway, I digress.
No, you're not.
What's his name? Goodall. Goodall. Roger.
Yeah, Roger.
Roger Goodall.
Roger the Dodger.
Yeah, someone like that. But anyway, Volandis is good for rugby. He's good for racing. And he keeps Victoria on its toes.
Yes.
What do you think about holding the ball, Robbo?
Oh, Friday night was a blight on the game. Friday night, every fan watching that game or in attendance to the game would have thought that the rules have changed. And that's what they hate. They hate when something's happened. Now, I've been told there was no instruction from anyone. It just played out like that. Okay, yeah. At headquarters. It just played out.
Steve Hawking, I was at that game. He was sitting on the umpire's bench.
He was.
Observing the five holding the ball, free kicks from 100 tackles. And then you go to Sunday and
it's 21
holding 21 the
balls. 21 at MCG, 4 at Etihad Stadium, 4.5 kilometres away. Headline in the paper yesterday was tackles 1,172.
Is it because the AFL
freeze 88
the ball in motion?
Yeah, of course they want the ball in motion. We all want the ball in motion. Let's not muck
but
around
we
here.
We don't want your throws and incorrect disposal. And
we've got to, as Jimmy Bartel said, mate, there's two ways to get rid of the ball, handball and kick it. Okay? There's only two ways you can get rid of the ball. Now, you can get it knocked out in the tackle.
Okay? Before prior.
You know, so if
that's where the
we want
area
flow,
is.
But we don't want. I often say this: the midfielders are not playing in dinner suits. They're not getting served up, you know, the finest of foods. They've got to work for the ball, and when a tackle and they try and take on the game. So what happens a lot in footy? More, I don't know if it's more than I've ever seen before. I people often make that comment: "Me, it's the worst I've seen ever." Players are absolutely trying to take on the tackler. Okay? Now, they'll either absorb the tackle or they'll try and charge through the man and get tackled.
Mainly because they know they won't be caught pinned.
Exactly. So if you
the
decide to charge through a man and try and break the tackle and you get tackled, shouldn't that be holding the
Should
ball?
Should be.
Rather than, there's a difference between charging towards the man or absorbing the tackle, stopping and absorbing the tackle.
But there's a balance. It's a very vexed. I don't know.
It's out of whack,
we'll
mate.
Never fix it. To be
no,
honest.
I know, but
we'll never fix
it's not
it.
Not about fixing. It's about getting it as close to right as we possibly can get it.
Yeah.
Aren't we?
Yeah. No, I agree with that. But scoring, by the way, you were very excited at the start of the year. You and Jared Healy and Free the Sharon. Is the Sharon going back in jail?
Oh, I don't think so. Maybe because
was a couple
maybe
of
coaches.
Real low
yeah.
Scoring
maybe
games.
The.
Last
seriously,
weekend.
The Sydney Collingwood game. My God, that was hard to
that
watch.
That was 42-72.
That was hard to watch.
There was a 68-61 under the roof between Essendon and
Clubs
Freo.
Are folding back players. They're folding back and they're getting defences back. But I still.
Friday night,
I was
47-68.
Yeah, I'll give the opposite.
Under the roof.
Giants Richmond Saturday night.
That was only 87-83.
But what a cracking
it
game.
It was a great game.
So it's not just about scoring, it's about the field
true,
play.
True,
it's about the field play. And
but it was brought in to increase scoring.
Yeah, they're hoping it did. Yeah. And I think it's up by a goal or something.
I think it's not.
Oh, well, the stats went out yesterday.
Might be up 2 points.
Really? Yeah. Do you know that for a fact?
Well, last week it was up 2 points, and I'm just looking at those scores, it wouldn't have gone up. So I
the email came out yesterday. We can have a check.
We can have a look at that.
I still think the game's far more pleasing to watch.
Yeah, but not as pleasing as it was in round one and two.
What would you mark Wreck-It Ralph on his?
If we gave him some advance warning, he'd probably give us a bit more.
Oh, he thought he'd come in and hit the ground running, didn't he?
He was good, but.
Wish you could do that from the start. Okay, everyone, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.